enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended. Here comes the money. Here we go.
Money talks. The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
Here we go. Here we go. Weekend Wager, baby, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Without further ado, let's get right into it. Lee Sterling joins me now from Paramount Sports. Him and I, we go way, way, way back to the days where I was hosting Sports Talk Radio in Miami. Lee, how you doing? Welcome in.
I'm good. I'm not feeling so confident about my bets after watching this North Carolina-Virginia Tech game play out. I don't know anyone that had Virginia Tech here on the money line. I mean, this is just shocking how they've shut down one of the best offenses in college football.
And by the way, Virginia Tech is up 17-10 against North Carolina. North Carolina coming in ranked 10th in the country with about 3:25 left. Charlotte up on Duke 16-14. Wake Forest up on Old Dominion 28-3, and that's just the start of the third quarter. At the half, Eastern Michigan up on St. Francis 28-7. No score in South Dakota, Kansas. No score in Northern Colorado and Colorado. Now, one of my big plays tonight, and kickoff was just 3 minutes ago. I mentioned it earlier before we kicked off Weekend Wager. I love Michigan State tonight. I love them getting three. I also love them on the money line at plus 135. Did you have a play in this Michigan State-Northwestern game?
I had Michigan State big also, and you really got to follow the transfer kids. And they picked up a bunch of really good kids that I think are going to help them. They get the quarterback from Temple. I think that's going to be a big, big addition there. And
Anthony Russo.
Yeah, Anthony Russo is really good. And they also get a running back, Kenneth Walker from Wake Forest. This kid had 13 touchdowns last year. So they're doing it the right way. And Northwestern, they could be bad again. I mean, they were terrible 2 years ago in offense, unwatchable when Hunter Johnson was the quarterback. He had transfer over. He was a five-star quarterback recruit at one time for Clemson. And, you know, he was just terrible. And then he gets beaten out. They bring in a kid from Indiana, does a great job. A bunch of transfer receivers and running backs and a tight end from down here in FAU. And all those kids ended up in NFL camps. And now they're back to the same guys. I mean, Hunter Johnson, I mean, Ryan Helinski was brought in from South Carolina, and he couldn't beat out Hunter Johnson. They lost their top four running backs. I think Northwestern is going to probably fall back in the pack here. So give me Michigan State also.
I thought them
plus the three and on the money line.
Yeah, so did I. I thought wrong teams favored here. I didn't quite understand that. That was my best bet tonight.
And here's something else with this series. 16 of the last 18 times, the underdog has won outright. How about that? And the visitors, too.
Interesting. Good stat. Good to know. All right, let's talk about your picks heading into – can you believe it? Somebody pinched me, right? Like, isn't it exciting? Like, tomorrow, college football is back. It's really unbelievable. Let's hit off with the bang, and that is Georgia and Clemson. Okay. I like the under. I like the under. That's my play in this game. What is your play in Georgia Clemson?
So the public seems to love Georgia in this game. I think they're on the wrong side. Outside of defensive line, having an advantage over maybe the weakest position, Clemson's offensive line, Clemson has four defensive linemen that might go in the first round. They've got four receivers that go 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", and 6'4". They can jump out of the gym, probably take a quarter off the top of a backboard and run like the wind. I just think that this Clemson team is explosive. I'm not a JT Daniels fan. Kirby Smart in big games is an absolutely nothing for me. And how about this? The last time Dabo lost two games in a series, comes back the next year and goes 15-0. I like Clemson here, -3. I think they're going to win this game something like 27-17.
Do you think because, you know, Trevor Lawrence no longer there, as we know, he's the quarterback of Jacksonville, you know, that's why Clemson's not favored tonight?
Yeah, I think that's a big reason. I mean, if you watch DJ playing that game last year against Notre Dame, and he was impressive. I mean, he wasn't the reason they lost. They scored almost 40 points, so it was the defense. They had just some strange situations happen to them last year. They had a slew of injuries. I mean, just a number of COVID cases in big games. But Clemson recruits right there with everyone. I just don't think that Georgia's coached well. They just don't seem to get up for the moment. They had Alabama. They should have been up by two touchdowns at the half last year, and they just fell apart and haven't been the same since.
Actually, I'm mistaken. Clemson is favored, just maybe not favored by more. Let's talk about a school that's very near and dear to you and I, and that is the Hurricanes going up against Alabama. They're getting 19.5. Listen, I'm taking the points. Something's telling me you're not.
Well, I've gone against Miami early and often the last 15 years, and it pains me. As you know, my father was, I don't know if we've discussed this, maybe we have or we haven't, he was a team dentist for over 25 years. My daughter just finished cheering a couple of years ago. I ended up getting my degree from there after playing football in college. So if this was game 6 of the season, I'd lay 25 points and take Alabama. But it's game 1. I mean, how do you replace maybe the greatest collection of skilled players on offense we've ever seen in college football? I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I watched a spring game that Alabama played here, and Bryce Young is good. But I don't think he's ready for this moment. When he's pressured, he doesn't step up in the pocket. Bill O'Brien, third offensive coordinator in the last couple of years. Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, they were home runs. Bill O'Brien, don't be surprised if we see by week 3 or 4, he and Nick Saban are going at it on the sidelines. I just think the Eric King's going to keep him in games. Good quarterbacks can mask a lot of weaknesses, but Miami's skill players on offense have gotten better, and I like Manny Diaz also taking over the defense. It's week 1. I think we're going to see a crazy week 1. I think Alabama will ultimately win the game 35-24, but I like Miami and those 19 points. I wouldn't be shocked if this game goes down to the wire.
Yeah, I really like Miami getting the points as well. Really quick, what was your father's name?
Bob Sterling, Dr. Sterling.
Was his
Dr.
office...
Dr. Mariani were the team.
You're not going to believe this. You ready for this?
No.
I know that this is... And their offices were right there in South Miami, right?
No, he was in Kendall, right off Kendall Drive.
Yeah, Kendall Drive, right. So...
Yeah.
So my dad played at the University of Miami. When I was born, my parents, they lived on the married housing on the campus of University of Miami because my dad was an architectural school. Yeah. Anyway, so I grew up a big Canes fan. Well, so I love Jim Kelly. And the only time that I would go to the dentist, well, my mom would make me go to the dentist, but the only time that I would be, I wouldn't kick and scream and fight to go to the dentist is when Jim Kelly was at the dentist. So the dentist office, the dentist office would call my mom and say, Jim Kelly is coming in. This is when he was quarterbacking the University of Miami. Jim Kelly's coming in today if you want to bring Anita in.
And so my mom would make
sure that I'd come in, and I was sitting in the waiting room with Jim Kelly. And that's the only way that I would go to the dentist. It may have been your dad's office.
May have been. That's a funny story.
Right? It's the only way that I would go to the dentist is when Jim Kelly went to the dentist.
And trust me, my dad started in the early 70s, back in the day. Not Nick Saban, but Lou Saban was the head coach even before.
I'm sure it had to be your father's. It had to be your father's. Right. What a small world, Lee. No, it's really, really remarkable. Anyway, okay, back to gambling. let's talk about Iowa and Indiana. Iowa's favored by 4. Who do you like here?
I like the fact that we have two great Big Ten games to open up the season. You know, Indiana has been a basketball school for many years. Even they're having trouble with that. But if you watched in the last couple of years, Michael Penix has made them into an offensive juggernaut. When he doesn't play, and he was hurt the last couple games of the year, they only scored 14 and 20 points. But with him in there, they scored above 24 points every single game last year. On defense, they have two cover corners, Williams and Mullen. These two guys will lock down. They'll play man-to-man. Last year, Indiana, you think of teams just running over the Indiana defense, but they had 17 interceptions in 8 games, 25 sacks. They've lost 3 straight times straight up and against the spread to Iowa. I'm hearing fall camp has been a very spirited month of workouts, and Iowa lost 3 of their top 4 starting defensive linemen. Iowa's the same thing every year, boring, every year, 7-5, 8-4. Wrong team's favorite here also. Indiana's now a football school. They upset Iowa outright 26-23.
Whoa. Okay. And last but not least, LSU getting 4 against Chip Kelly and UCLA, which, you know, not having the same success at UCLA as he did at Oregon, that's for sure. What's your play in this one?
No, his roster has just been depleted. I mean, when he got there, I think he had 63 scholarship kids there. Now he's up to a full 85. He has 20 returning starters. His quarterback's been hurt off and on the first couple years. He's back. I like the fact they have a game under their belt. LSU, they had to go to Houston. Then the kids had to take school. They had to do it online this week, then travel to L.A. Their defense last year gave up 44 more points in 5 games. I don't think you can fix that overnight. So I just think that UCLA is going to be able to run the football. That's LSU's weakness. UCLA is not going to put the ball up more than 14, 15 times in this game here. Another upset here. I like UCLA in a barn burner, 40-34.
Wow. Lee, why don't you let our listeners out there know, how can they contact you? How can they find out more of your wealth of knowledge and all your picks and your analysis? How can they reach you?
Well, just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. My 28th year, I know I look about 38, but I've been in business 28 years, and I'm a former college quarterback. This is all I do. I watched 88 spring games over the summer. So you're looking for someone who has the edge and has won every year except for one in the business, just check us out, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, you rock. Always great to hear your voice. I'm going to text my mom, Mama Mimi. I'm going to ask her. So do me a favor. Text me your father's. This is bizarre. Text me your father's dental office. All the doctors. You know, blah 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 blah. And I'm going to text my mom and see if she remembers the dentist that she took me to. And again, only. If Jim Kelly was going that day.
That's too cute.
Oh, my gosh. Right. How funny. What a small, right? What a small, small world that would be, Lee.
Yeah.
If that was your dad.
That's where Miami was. Yeah. Probably was. He took care of many players over the year.
That's wild. All right, Lee. Thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. And have a fantastic Labor Day weekend with you and your beautiful family.
You too. Take care. See you,
Nina. You got it. Known Lee for quite a while. He's very successful. So just to recap his plays, he likes Clemson, -3. I like the under, by the way. Him and I are both on Miami getting 19.5. He's also on Indiana getting the points. He said Indiana is now a football school, all you hoopsters out there. And also, he's on Chip Kelly getting the points, +4 against LSU. Interesting play there. So that is Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you. You're listening to Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Yankees, bottom of the 7th, all tied up. Orioles tied it up, 2-2. Ouch. Mets still up on Washington, 2-0. Top of the 7th, 1 out. And Michigan State up on Northwestern already. That's right. 7-0. And Northwestern, offensively, they're sputtering right now. Again, this was my best bet. I like them +3. I like them on the money line. We'll see what happens. So this week, we're less than a week away from game one, the first game, I should say, of the NFL regular season. We dropped, how we call it, our phrasing in the business, our NFL futures column on Chalk on ESPN. Make sure you check it out. Me, Bear, Doug Kazarian, Joe Fortenball, Tyler Fulgham, a number of other players. I'm watching the Northwestern Michigan State game. A number of other analysts who contributed, and there's a ton of plays in there. I'm going to share with you just a few. We got David, who's going to be joining us momentarily, around like in about 8 to 10 minutes. But I'm going to share with you the teams that I really, really love coming into this season. Denver being one of them. What are the plays that I like for Denver? Well, first of all, you know, I do believe that the Denver is going to beat the Giants here in New York week one. So right now I do get the Broncos -2.5. I like them over 8.5 wins. I say yes to the playoffs. I think Denver makes it in as a wild card, and you get that at +155. You can bet that they're going to finish second in the AFC West at +180. Also, player props that are out there. Javonte Williams, over 800.5 season rushing yards. I think this young man's going to be a beast. And I had Mike Clay on earlier, over 5 receiving touchdowns for Jerry Jeudy. Over 5 receiving touchdowns for Jerry Jeudy. And a big reason why, listen, the Broncos, they've decided to go with Teddy Bridgewater. And I love the decision. Now, Teddy Bridgewater, no bells and whistles. But what's really good is he's a completion percentage machine. And he's going to get the ball into the hands of the talent that's around him. And the sky's the limit for this Denver's offense. And I think Jerry Jeudy and Javonte Williams are going to be a huge factor in this offense. And not to mention Denver's defense, top 5 in the NFL, and will sport one of the best secondaries. Don't forget they drafted Patrick Surtain, and they've got Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, Justin Simmons, and Kareem Jackson. You can argue best secondary in the NFL, along with, oh, by the way, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb up front. So I'm all in on Denver. I'm also all in on the Bills. I've got them winning the Super Bowl at 12-1. I've got them taking on the Rams in the Super Bowl. You can bet that it's going to be a Bills-Rams Super Bowl at 40-1. I got them winning the conference at 6-1. I got them winning the division at -155. I got them at over 11 wins at -115. I also have them as the best regular season record at 9-1. The highest scoring team at 9-1. Josh Allen winning the MVP at 12-1. Josh Allen, most regular season passing yards at 8-1. And Stephon Diggs, most regular season receiving yards at 10-1. Listen, this is a Bills team. They won 13 games last season. And they only made the team better in 2021 through free agency in the draft. I love the fact that they drafted both Greg Russo and Boogie Basham. Boogie Basham had to be one of my favorite defensive players that came out of the draft this year. Also, they add Emmanuel Sanders to the wide receiving core. And, you know, not that Emmanuel Sanders is a number one in any stretch of the imagination, but he's a solid number two. He's a great player. And I think this is the year they get past the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And I envision a showdown with them and the Rams in Tinseltown. That's how I see this playing out. So those are two of my favorites. I have one more. I mean the Rams are it. I've got a lot there for the Rams, but here's another one, a sleeping giant, and that's Washington. I like Washington +1 week one at home against the Chargers. New team, new coach, new coordinators for the Chargers, traveling across the country. I've got them over 8.5 wins. Yes to the playoffs at +140. I think they win the division at +225. And I've got Terry McLaurin over 6.5 regular season receiving touchdowns on the year. You know, I think Washington and Denver, those two teams, very comparable. In many aspects. Offensively, Ryan Fitzpatrick gives them the best opportunity to win in quite a while. He's smart, game manager, you know, and another thing is he gets the ball in the hands of a plethora of playmakers. Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and they drafted De'Ami Brown from North Carolina. so much speed on that offense, it's frightening. Defensively, they'll be sporting a top three defense, possibly the best when it's all said and done, led by Chase Young, Montez Sweat, and I love the addition of linebacker Jamin Davis in the draft. He's going to be a stud. So, again, I've got a number of teams here that, how many total? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think 10 teams that I contributed to this column. I just gave you three. I highly recommend you read it. It's not just my plays, but it's all of us. It's really, really informative. It's really good. And you've got six days to get your futures bets in before, of course, kickoff next Thursday with the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Bucks. We come back. David Bearman will join us next. Nina Marks with you. You're listening to We Can Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. I believe in my bet, and that's Michigan State. Money line, baby. They're about to score again. Go up 14. Hoo-ha! Without further ado, David Bearman joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. He oversees all our gambling content. David, how you doing?
Good, good. I had the under in the North Carolina game, and that was a nice, nice, easy, no sweat, no knee, no overtime. It looks like you're in a good mood because Michigan State's winning. I got the under, first little college football win of the year, so we're in good moods tonight.
There we go. I think a lot of people are going to be shocked the Virginia Tech upset UNC, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we always get attached to the preseason hype of, you know, like the Heisman candidacy of Sam Howell and North Carolina top 10 team. And, you know, Anita, as well as I do, you've been around the game long enough to know that the preseason rankings mean about as much as you can throw them. And at the end of the day, North Carolina was, you know, number 10 in the country by the voters, but they're not a top 10 team. Maybe they'll go ahead and win the Coastal and go to a, you know, a big bowl game or New Year's Six, but their national championship hopes, not that they had many to begin with, are now gone. And I don't see how we're winning the Heisman after throwing three interceptions in the first game of the year. So it was a good defensive battle. Loved the crowd there in Blacksburg. And, you know, Virginia Tech, that's a tough place to go in there and win. And as you saw tonight, Sam Howell in North Carolina didn't get it done.
Michigan State just scored again. So now they're up 14. Well, assuming that they make this extra point, they're going to be up 14-0 with 7:40 left in the first. By the way, side note, before we start talking golf and NFL, Miami plus 19.5. I like it. I'm putting money on Miami.
I don't bet against Alabama week one. In fact, that's been my favorite bet every single year for about the last 10 years is Alabama week one, no matter who they play. Line bet, Alabama lay the points. And there is some credence to Miami and they're a better team and la, 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 la. And Alabama lost a lot of people. We see this every single year, whether it's Michigan, or whether it's Florida State, Jameis. Every year, somebody's like, we're going to knock off Alabama. And then you turn around second quarter and it's 28-0. You're like, why did I bet against Alabama? So automatically, people at the office can prove me that in the pool that we're in, where you pick your favorite games and rank them 1-7, I do Alabama 7 every single year without even thinking. And I have it already written down, Alabama 7, meaning that's my most confident pick of the pool, laying the point spread. And hey, one year I'm going to be wrong. One year Nick Saban's team is not going to reload, but the number one team in the country. And, you know, Miami's good. Neutral site, and Alabama's probably going to go in there and win, I don't know, 41-20 and cover the spread.
Again, David Bearman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's turn our attention to what's going on in Hotlanta, and that is the Tour Championship. And you got Patrick Cantlay at the top of the leaderboard right now. It's 17 under. Rahm, 65 yesterday, 65 today. He is one shot behind. Bryson DeChambeau at 11. Justin Thomas at 10. That's who I picked to win this weekend on our chalk column. And then you've got a ton of dudes at 9. Harris English, Victor Hovland, Cam Smith, Kevin Na, and Tony Finau. With that being said, I mean, listen, right now you could pick John Rahm to win this. He's only one shot back. He shot 65, lowest score, lowest round, both on Thursday and Friday. You can get him at minus 110. Those are some good odds for the number one player in the world, right?
You know, what's better odds is the plus 400 that I took them in the column on Wednesday and took them on the side. I can figure John Rahm was going to make up that four-shot difference by the time the weekend rolled around. And he actually was tied to the lead. Cantlay birdied 18 to take the one-shot lead back. But John Rahm has already made up that deficit. And John Rahm's going to go on to win this event unless he slows down over the weekend. And, you know, Patrick Cantlay's been a nice story. He has a one-shot lead. He absolutely can go on and win. Minus 110 isn't bad, but I do like the 4-1 better. This two-man race has exposed what is wrong with the new system that they had. It's only the third year doing it, the staggered start. But you give Cantlay a three-shot lead over most of the field, four-shot, five-shot lead, and it's only going to be a two-man race. And as good as Bryson's playing and JT, who I also have with you this week, they have five- and six-shot leads. And I don't know of many sports out there where you give the guy who's atop the leaderboard an even bigger lead to start with or a bigger advantage. And I prefer personally to go back to the old system. I know it's a little bit more math, and you got to figure if Tiger does this and Justin Rose does this, at the end of the day, you give two winners out. But to me, it's more fair and more entertaining than you're going to be watching golf, and it's literally going to be a two-man race for the rest of the weekend.
I really liked Justin Thomas coming in. Did you read the story that a 15-year-old convinced him to go to a different putter mm-hmm. prior to the Northern Trust?
Yep.
I
took him as well. I also took him to have the low 72 score this weekend, which was another bet you could make if you weren't interested in betting who wins the FedEx Cup with the big lead that Cantlay had. I think Justin Thomas had the low 72 as well as finishing the top five. So he's sitting right there, and it is a hell of a story that a 15-year-old kid told him to go back to his putter, and he's playing well, and you wonder where this has been all year. So it is definitely a good story.
But he's fourth right now at 10 under. You could get him to finish in the top five at plus 110. I'm still on it. I like what we've seen from Justin Thomas, 67 mm-hmm. yesterday and a 67 today. And any other guys that are, so to finish in the top 10, you've got to be 8 under. And there's quite a few, Horschel's been playing well. 65 yesterday, 60, 68 today. I like Schauffele a lot. He's three shots back from being in the top 10. So are there any guys that you like that kind of you feel that could end up in the top 10 that might be a shot or two back?
Yeah. I like Rory, and I know he's T10 right now, but I actually played Rory before the week to be in the top five and have the low 72, and it doesn't look like he's going to have the low 72, but looks like he could finish in the top five. He's 10 under right now at T10. I know he was, 4 under yesterday and I believe 2 under the day before, but he had a poor back nine and gave back a whole bunch of shots. I think Rory grew out there and shoot a couple of more 66 and 67s, maybe even have the low score of the week, which would pay off at 12-1. To take him into the top five earlier in the week, I believe was plus 350. I'm not looking at it right now, but I do like Rory to play well this weekend.
Here are some matchups for you. Justin Thomas over DeChambeau at minus 115. I really like Kevin Na over Tony Finau at plus 115. I like that as well.
How your boy Sung J.M. gave it up on 18 the other day versus Morikawa. I mean, that was pretty poor. That was awful.
It was horrible. It really
par five. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I know. I also like Daniel Berger minus 115 over Morikawa. Just to name a few. In any matchups that you've seen out there that you like heading into Saturday?
Yeah, I do like the JT over Bryson. I faded Bryson multiple times this week. I took Tony Finau over him, and he's two shots back of Bryson. I also took John Rahm over Bryson. I do think taking Thomas over Bryson is a good play by tomorrow because Bryson's kind of just been back and forth, and really he's taken advantage of the last couple of holes. He birdied out on Thursday, 16, 17, and 18, and he birdied out 17 and 18 today. It's the rest of the 15 holes that he hasn't played well. At some point, that's going to be a trouble spot for him. So I do like JT to beat him tomorrow.
I'm trying to see. Oh, here we go. unfortunately, I don't see any odds up right now for the Ryder Cup. I know that they were up previously. They're down right now. I was going to throw those out. I know, you know, the past few times that I have checked it out, you know, the United States has been favored by a lot, you know, minus 175, minus 180, minus 195 in some places. You know, I'm really excited to see who the final 12 are going to be, the six at large for Steve Stricker that he's going to choose soon. And, you know, I really like the United States. I just, you know, it's just, you know me, you know, we've been working together now for over a year. I just don't like laying that much juice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is a lot of juice. I've seen it anywhere from 170 to 200, and I'm assuming the odds are down probably because, you know, we don't know who he's going to pick. There's captain's picks coming up. And, I mean, well, let's call it what it is. The United States team is better than the European team, top to bottom, no matter who Stricker picks. They're more talented, they're higher ranked, and they've been more successful. But as you know, with the Ryder Cup, you can throw all that out the window when it comes to the Ryder Cup because the European team plays more team-oriented and the United States team doesn't. And that is what has led the Europeans to be very successful as they've played as a team, and that's what you need in a team-type event. You know, you look at the United States team, and one of their best players is a complete head case right now, and Bryson DeChambeau is going to be sharing the bus with Brooks Koepka, who the two of them don't get along, and Bryson and Patrick Cantlay, and you saw what the two of them went through on Sunday last week with talking back and forth. So that's not good for Team USA, which will probably make me pause before taking them. I'm probably just going to play individual matchups and not worry about the overall. Maybe if the United States gets down early and they lose three out of the first four and you get more of an even number, then jump on the United States to rally and win. But at the end of the day, I'm more interested in the matchups than anything else.
Before we let you go, let's promote our NFL futures column that dropped today. Kind of, you know, let our listeners know exactly who contributed to it and you know, all that's in there.
Yeah, it's one of our more popular pieces every single year. We have a pick on all 32 teams, if not multiple picks on all 32 teams. We have Doug Kazarian, Tyler Fushum, Anita Marks, and Joe Fortenbaugh from Daily Wager. Fantasy's Mike Clay, myself, sports betting deputy David Behrman, analytics writer Seth Walder, and our friends over at Pro Football Outsiders and Aaron Schatz and Scott Spratt. We have about 55 picks on the 32 teams there. A couple of the ones that I threw out there, I don't see the Jacksonville Jaguars winning seven games, so I took the under 6.5. Rookie head coach, as much as I love that rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, and not a lot of talent elsewhere, especially losing ATN in the preseason. I also took the Green Bay Packers to win the NFC North, and that should come as no surprise, but just look at the value of it. Minus 155, that's assuming about a 60% win rate, and I don't see anybody winning that division outside of the Green Bay Packers. I'm not a fan of any of the other three teams. And I also took the Falcons under 7.5 wins. I don't see them going 8-9. I don't see 8 wins on their schedule and more picks in there in the file. I know you were on about 8 or 9 teams as well.
David, thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight. Appreciate it. I know it is a holiday weekend and just know how much I appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you, my friend.
Love being on, and good luck to your Spartans tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you. David Behrman, again, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, oversees all our gambling content across the board at ESPN.
This is The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.